pray that prayer in song. We know that's one of the purposes of God's word, is to change us. As we hear the word proclaimed, the main point is to glorify God through the proclamation of the word, to hear the gospel proclaimed so we can be formed and transformed, but also to learn and grow spiritually, to be nurtured in the faith through the reading and proclamation of the word today. As the leaders of this church, we are also trying to do that as we meet regularly for prayer and to discern God's will. In fact, the elders of this church are currently reading, with me, a really good book on church renewal called Outgrowing the Ingrown Church by C. John Miller. This is a church, or book rather, that I've read a few times in my life, and it's always really encouraged me and instructed me as a pastor. And I'm happy we can read this book now because it helps us to think about our missionary character. And I was thinking about this book as I thought of the text we're about to read, because this text, the story we're about to hear, is one about identity. We're going to learn today who we are in Christ. And in this book, we learn who we are as a local church. And we're reminded this week that we belong to God. We exist to serve God first and foremost, and then to serve the people that God brings to us or calls us to serve. And it was a really helpful reminder. So as we think about that, Lent is this wonderful time of self-reflection, examining ourselves to discern, who am I? Who are we as a church? What are we called to do? How can we grow in our spiritual life and in ministry? This passage, this story, helps us take some steps forward in that regard. So, let's read this very important story about identity from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Through God's word, O Holy Spirit, bring us closer to our Savior. And in response, Triune God, prompt our hearts to offer you sincere thanks for our salvation. In the strong name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. This story of identity from Matthew's gospel comes as part of a larger sermon series based on Matthew. If you were here a few weeks ago, you'll recall that we heard from the story from chapter 8, which is a story of the centurion's great faith in God. But now we're going to take a step back and go back to Matthew chapter 3, because we have this wonderful privilege of having a baptism today, but also next week. So let's take a moment now to just explore God's will for us, God's message for us through the story of Jesus' baptism. And as we do that, I'm thinking quite a bit about family life. As I was reflecting on this text, I thought, here's God the Father giving this beautiful message to his Son. And it reminded me of parenting. Now, I know not everyone is a parent, but family life is a fairly common phenomenon for us. We all grow up in families. And I was thinking about, what is the job of the parents? The job of the parents is to help our children know they belong to God and their family. I think we're trying to do that over and over and over again. Tell them, you belong. You belong. You are loved. You belong. Don't forget it. You belong. Act like it. Act like a child of God. Act like you're part of our family. I think we're constantly giving that message. And sometimes it sticks, right? Sometimes it sticks and there is just a wonderful moment of gratitude. Sometimes it doesn't. And the child seems to forget that who they belong to. And it just grieves us when that happens. So we need to continue to just keep plugging away at this, to keep reminding our kids that they belong to God. And especially today when a lot of families are struggling and a lot of people feel lonely. We belong to God. That's the main message that I want you to hear today. We belong to God. And whether we're talking about like a blood family or a church family, that message comes through so beautifully in the sacrament of baptism. Regardless of timing and mode, I know sometimes baptism actually, I read an article recently from a pastor in the United Kingdom. He said, "The waters of baptism have often divided us. It should not be. These are waters that unite us in Christ." Let's not let the conversation about timing or mode, infant, adult, all of that stuff, divide us. These are waters that unite us. And through them, we hear the message, we belong to God. So, I want to hear more of that message today, and I know you do too. So let's hear it as we enter this passage of Scripture and just look at a few important events that occurred at Jesus' baptism. This is a pretty profound story when you think about it. It's short, but it's profound. Why did Jesus need to be baptized? Have you ever thought about that? Asked that question? Just before this, we have John the Baptist, whom God sent to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. John the Baptist is baptizing the people of Israel in the Jordan River, calling them to repent of their sins and then be baptized. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So we know that with baptism, there is this element of repentance and faith and forgiveness. Now, whether the faith comes before or after the baptism, I don't think that matters. But baptism is just rooted in faith. You see, the parents, of Tanner's parents, have faith in God. And now they are saying that they're going to train Tanner to have faith in God too. And then later on, we're going to invite Tanner to profess his faith. And so faith is just the root of it all. But there's still this element of repentance and confession with baptism. So in the story, we see Jesus coming, getting in line at the Jordan River with all of the other Jews of his day. And we see him approach John and ask for baptism. Now, John rightly says, Hold on a minute. You're not a sinner. I'm a sinner. You should be baptizing me. You're the Messiah. And Jesus says, no, it's okay, John. This is God's will that I would be baptized in order to fulfill all righteousness. So, I find this fascinating. Jesus is baptized in this story like all of the other Jews and like now all of us, he's baptized. But Jesus is baptized not because of sin, because he had no sin. So why is he baptized? Happily, I encountered a really good essay on this topic recently. I wonder if any of you read our denominational magazine, The Banner. I do faithfully, and I really appreciate it. And usually there's an article or two that helps us reflect theologically on a certain topic. In the January issue, Reverend Leonard Vanderzee speaks on this very topic of Jesus' baptism and why it's so important for us. And so I'm going to be using him a little bit today, even quoting from him a little bit, just so you know, he's mentoring me today, and he's mentored me actually over the years, especially in the sacraments. Listen to what he says about this, about Jesus being baptized. Why did Jesus have to be baptized? He says, "Righteousness is a right relationship with God, which is exactly what we do not have. We are sinners. We need a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. But Jesus came to fulfill all righteousness. That is, he came to make sinful humanity righteous before God. To do that, Jesus stood in with sinners and for sinners. So with all the other sinners, Jesus waited in line at the muddy Jordan to be baptized by John." Isn't that great? Jesus stood in with sinners and for sinners. Jesus heading to the cross, the sinless one, sinless Son of God, heading to the cross to take on the sins of the world, stands in and with and for sinners going to the Jordan River to be baptized. He needed baptism too, not for his sake so much, but for our sake. And yet Jesus too receives great benefit from baptism. Remember the message? We belong to God. We're going to hear that message even more clearly in a few moments, and it comes out through Jesus' baptism. So Jesus didn't need to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins like we do, yet he still needed baptism. And this is a very helpful move for the gospel writer, or by the gospel writer, because as he highlights Jesus' baptism, he links John's old baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins with Jesus' new baptism. So, what is God trying to tell us through Jesus' baptism that can help inform our own baptisms? Let's go and explore the text a little further. And what I noticed here, and what Reverend Pastor Len points out, is the different events that occur. Specifically, three events that occur at Jesus' baptism and what they mean. So the first event, the heavens were opened. On this one human being, Jesus of Nazareth, the heavens opened. In this man, the God of heaven has come down to join us in the mud, in the muddy Jordan of human life. And that means there is hope for us all. Heaven is no longer closed to us. As Jesus says in his signature sermon, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." I noticed one of the songs we just sang talks about God bringing heaven down. That is what happened when Jesus came. It's as if heaven and earth met in the person and work of Jesus. Beautiful. We're waiting. We're citizens of heaven waiting for the new heavens and the new earth to unfold when Jesus returns. When Jesus comes to make all things new, I think we sang about that as well. We're waiting for that. Oh, we're waiting for that. Meanwhile, when Jesus comes, heaven has come down to us. And so the first event of Jesus' baptism reveals this lesson. Baptism brings us into the presence of the living God. The second event. The Spirit descended on Jesus as a dove. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit, but because he stands in for us as our human brother, we too receive the promise of the Holy Spirit in baptism. As we hear the Apostle Peter say at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." In our baptism, Jesus promises us the gift of the Holy Spirit. He promises that whenever we grab hold of our baptism in faith by trusting in Jesus, the Holy Spirit affirms our true identity in Christ. Then the Spirit sets out to transform us, making us holy by ripening the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. So the second event of Jesus' baptism reveals this lesson. Baptism brings us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then the third event of Jesus' baptism, a voice is heard from heaven. And this voice says these words, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And in this way, God affirms Jesus as the Son of God in the eternal fellowship of the Holy Trinity. But Jesus has also identified himself with us as our human brother. In our baptism, we are united with Jesus Christ, identified with him. His Father is our Father. The Holy Spirit now lives in us. And so the third event of Jesus' baptism reveals this lesson. Through baptism, we receive God's words of love and affirmation. And so as we explore those events and what Jesus' baptism meant for him, we begin to understand more clearly what our baptisms mean for us. What do they mean? Basically this, that we are baptized into the family of God through Jesus Christ. As the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, "In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ." Basically, what God was saying to his son is on his day of baptism, "You belong to me, I love you." And this was the main message that we heard at our senior high faith formation class that just ended recently. I had a chance to work with seven of our senior high students as we studied Lord's Day 1 of the Heidelberg Catechism. The main message that came through, and I hope the students caught it, you belong to God. You are loved. And that is the main message that we all are invited to hear now as we see Tanner baptized and remember our baptisms. You belong to God through Christ. Now, I know that in our life, sometimes we wonder about that. We get going in our work, doing our stuff, whatever that is, our activities. Maybe we get distracted. Maybe we even become a little bit lost. And maybe we get discouraged or confused. And along the way, we start to wonder, well, what is the point of my life? I feel lonely. I don't feel like I belong anywhere. And then we see another baptism, and we remember our baptisms. And then we hear those beautiful words, this time spoken directly to Tanner, but also we hear those echoes spoken to us. "This is my son. I love him. I am well pleased." Spoken first to Jesus, the echoes a little louder, spoken to the baptized child or adult. The echoes still, we hear them and they speak to us. So every time we see a baptism or remember our baptisms, we hear this beautiful message from God the Father. He says, "You are my son. You are my daughter. I love you. With you, I am well pleased. You are my beloved." Those are the words we all long to hear, don't we? We long to hear it from our parents, from our spouses, from our teachers, from our friends. "I love you. You are special to me. You are my beloved." But we especially long to hear them from our Creator, our Heavenly Father, as Jesus did that day at the Jordan River. Baptism brings us the gift of adoption. Now, happily, we recently had an adoption in our church family. Little Abraham Isis was adopted. He was not born by blood to his parents, but he is now their child. All of him. He is completely their child because they've adopted him. We, through baptism, we are adopted into God's family. It's a beautiful thing. When we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we don't live our lives in a painful and futile attempt to prove that somehow we deserve to be loved by God. We are loved. We're already accepted. God opens up the heavens above us. He sends His Spirit down to fill us. And then He speaks to each of us His words of love and delight. He says, "You are my chosen one. My son, my daughter, I am so delighted with you." Sometimes we forget those words of love in the busyness of our lives, but whenever we witness a baptism, we hear them spoken again. And so whenever we see a baptism, we're invited to remember our own baptisms. Even if it happened as a baby and you can't remember it, you can imagine it. You know it's true. And you can imagine yourself, the waters of baptism flowing over your head. Or if you're like me, I was baptized at age 13. I can recall myself being immersed in the waters of baptism. Whatever your situation, you're invited to remember your baptism and hear those words of love and affirmation today. And if you've never been baptized, you're invited to request it so you too can hear those words of love and affirmation spoken from the Father directly to you. You know, sometimes we feel alone, we feel unworthy or unloved, and then we remember our baptisms and we remember, oh, I belong to God through Christ. Now, it's not that baptism saves us, it doesn't, but baptism provides a handle of faith that we can just kind of hold on to all the time, but especially when times get tough, just grab a hold of it and remember that even when I don't feel like I belong to God, even when I don't feel like I'm loved, I am loved through Christ. I belong to God through my baptism. So brothers and sisters, hear God's word of love and affirmation one more time as we remember our baptisms today in the context of Tanner's own baptism. You are my chosen, my son, my daughter. I am so delighted with you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, and all God's people say, Amen. Let us pray. Loving Father, why are you so good to us to give us these words of love and affirmation today? But as we remember, as we saw Tanner's baptism and remember our own, we recognize this is the kind of God that you are. Loving and compassionate, full of grace and mercy. Even in our sin, you pick us up and you stand us on solid ground again. You pluck us out of the mud and mire and clean us off through the waters of baptism. And you put your sign and seal on us through it, kind of brand us as our own forever. And oh, we're so thankful for that, because we get lost sometimes, caught up in the busyness and distractions of life. The world is not for us or with us, but we know that you call us to live in this world and be a faithful presence. Lord, we need to hear your words of love and affirmation constantly. So thank you for proclaiming them so clearly to us today. Now, help us to remember them as we leave this place, and help us to communicate them to others so others can feel that they are loved and they belong to. All through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have been blessed once again in the sanctuary. And I say maybe especially blessed as we receive God's grace through the sacrament. So I invite you all to rise as we just receive God's blessing again, this time through Romans chapter 8, which just reminds us that we are loved once again. And then we sing our songs of praise and we go celebrate. And then we go out into the world to proclaim God's message of love and to love people. So from Romans chapter 8, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
For coffee and cake to celebrate the baptism. Have a blessed Sunday.